1980. Could you state your name, please?
Leona Bishop.
Could you give us the year of your birth?
1905.
Okay. Where were you born?
Pardo, Pennsylvania.
Pardo.
Mm-hmm.
Where were your parents born?
They were born in Pardo, too.
Uh-huh. What nationality?
My mother's English, my father was Irish.
How long had your family, had your mother's family been in this country, do you know?
Oh, they were born and raised here.
Uh-huh. And how far back did they go? Were your grandparents on your mother's side born here?
No, they were all born here.
They were. How about your father's side?
Yes, they're the Irish.
So you're really American, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
For some time?
Yes, for a good many generations. They had big farms here.
Uh-huh. What did your father do for a living?
Well, he was postmaster at Pardo at the big mines there, the big coal mine, the mining town of Pardo, and then he worked for what they called the Bessemer gas engine.
Oh, what's that?
Well, that used to be for, they used to build gas engines over here to Cooper Bessemer, see.
Yeah.
Before they bought them out. He'd go to work at 6 o'clock at night and work till 6 in the morning.
12 hours?
Yes, uh-huh.
How many days a week?
Oh, most generally 6. He was always home on Sunday.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did he work first as a coal miner? Or?
No, he never was. No, he was always a storekeeper and a postmaster.
A storekeeper in Pardo?
In the big company store there in Pardo.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. What was a company store like? Could you describe
it? Oh, yes. It was a very large building. We lived upstairs, my dad and mother and I, we lived upstairs above this store, and it was just a regular big company store. We handled
What was the difference between a company store and an ordinary store?
Well, now the company that owned the coal mine, was operating the coal mine, owned that store, see.
Uh-huh.
Didn't own the building, but owned everything that was in it.
Uh-huh.
And then if the miners, they had to have extra flour and so on before payday. Well, my dad would reimburse them, see, and then when they got paid, they'd pay him back.
Uh-huh. It was credit. They
yes,
gave credit.
Uh-huh. That uh-huh. was it.
Did he work for the company, your father?
Yeah.
Or was it his own store?
No, it was a company store.
Uh-huh. Were prices any different in the company store than the regular stores?
No, I think just about the same. Mercer was just about the same.
Well, what was the purpose of the company store?
Well, it was the for the people that worked in the big mine there in Pardo.
Uh-huh.
They had company houses.
Uh-huh.
They rented out all these houses. Some of them are still there in Pardo.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Well, why didn't the men simply come to town and buy food or... Why didn't the
There wasn't any cars. There wasn't any transportation other than get on the train and come down. Mother would, if she had to, later on, when the company store, when everything closed, why, she would be gone all day for a basket full of groceries.
And then she
would just slide it down the railroad track. We lived about a mile and a half down the railroad track,
you see.
That's after the store closed. We went back to
it. It was a real convenience to have that company store.
Oh, yes, that was the purpose of it, you see.
For the convenience of the miners.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Well, I wonder why private grocers didn't open a store in Pardo.
Well, the only thing was allowed in there at that time was the butcher shop for fresh meat.
Oh, the company wouldn't allow it.
They come in there and would credit, And then they would come
well,
in.
Well, I wonder why they did that. You know, I can see them wanting to do a service for the miners. Is that what it was? A service?
Yes,
for the miners?
That was.
Why wouldn't they let competition come in since they were giving?
Well, it was a
service.
Very small mining town.
Oh.
It wasn't quite like Number 5 and Number 2 in Brent. You see,
uh-huh.
It wasn't such a big. It was a rich coal, a good coal,
uh-huh.
But then it didn't last that long.
What could you buy at a company store?
Most anything, even down to shoelaces.
Was it a general store?
It was a general store, anything and everything.
What were the miners like?
Oh, they were just wonderful people, just great.
Uh-huh.
Yes, indeed.
Were there any immigrants, coal miners?
Yes, a few. A few came into Pardo, there was a few. But mostly it was... just around through Pardo and the vicinity that worked there at the mines. And then when they closed, that a lot of them stayed and a lot of them left.
Uh-huh. Well, the mine closed.
Oh, yes.
What year did it close?
Oh, my, let me see. Oh, just about the First World War time, it was done.
And they shipped coal mine out of coal out on the Bessemer, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the switch track. Uh-huh. They switched the cars up there, and there was a big loading dock there. You
I see.
And, uh-huh. Oh yeah, and they they took it out that way by the switch engine.
What are your memories of that company store?
Oh, the. Well, I wasn't. I had a lot of memories of it, but I had a lot of memories of it. But then,
was it pleasant?
Oh yes, I loved the people in Pardo. I went to school in Pardo.
Did you ever have any trouble in the store?
No.
Any thievery?
No. Nothing like that.
It was a community store. Everyone was close to each other.
Yes.
How many hours a day was it open?
Well. Dad would mostly, and Mr. Paxton would, they'd close about 8 o'clock so they could clean up, see.
Oh,
they'd,
see.
They'd sweep out and clean up, fill shelves. Uh-huh. And then it was a real work day when that would come in, when all the stuff, flour and sugar and yeast and everything like that would come in.
Uh-huh.
It was not trucked, it come in on by
the railroad?
Yeah, by the railroad.
Mm-hmm. Where did it come from?
Oh, it was Pillsbury flour, and I think most of it came in from Pittsburgh.
Oh.
I think that did. I think it came in from Pittsburgh, likely.
Where was the post office in the general store?
Yes,
in the
right in
store?
It. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What were your father's duties as postmaster?
Just the same as any other postmaster. He passed the test and could have gone on to Erie. They wanted him to go to Erie after.
Oh, they did?
Yes, huh? But he went to the Bessemer gas engine instead.
Uh-huh. What test did he have to pass?
The government test for a postmaster.
Oh, I see.
It wasn't, I don't think, quite as severe as it is now.
Uh-huh. What did he do? Did he have to sort the mail?
He done everything with the mail.
How did people get their mail? Did they have little pigeonhole boxes or what?
Oh, yes.
Or
they had their own box.
They had their own box?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. They had their own boxing.
Pardo was just a coal mine. There was no other businesses in town, were there?
No, there still isn't. It's just a little burg.
Uh-huh.
There was a Catholic church and a Methodist church.
Uh-huh. Was a Catholic church for the immigrants?
Anybody that were Catholics.
Uh-huh. Well,
all over.
Well, some Americans were Catholics. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there was about half.
What kind of activities, community activities?
Bobsled riding down the big hill. Across the railroad track and down by Dutchies and where they sold the carbide and oil, lamp oil and stuff.
Was there a labor union, a coal miner's
no.
labor union? No. Why not?
Well, that was a long time ago.
Uh-huh. And they just didn't believe in them?
No.
What about the miners? Did any of the miners ever want a union?
No, I never, don't remember of it. Uh-uh. No, I don't remember of it.
How were the wages?
Well, as we're talking here, as Betty and I are talking, it was, you got paid by how many cars? The little dinky brought up your cars.
Uh-huh.
Your initial was on your car and your number below it.
In what,
Uncle Nick and
what?
I think it was paint.
Paint. Oh, you had your own special car.
Yes, uh-huh. Your loading car, see.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uncle Nick and Uncle John Rowe, they used to push a lot of coal off for Mama. You know, she'd pick up the coal and...
Well, tell me about that.
Well, a lot of them done that. Mama would go and pick up the coal and take it up to Grandma. She washed and ironed for the miners, see, a lot of the miners.
Who was Grandma?
Grandma Breton, that was
she
mother's.
She was just a mother of the miner?
It was my grandma.
Your grandma, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Why did they push the coal off the
Well, car? It was my granddad, he had ruptured his spleen in the coal mine, digging
uh-huh.
coal. And he was dead, so they all just sort of helped out. Mama
helped
used to,
her.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
That's right.
And that coal kept her stove going.
Yes, and the water, they had the little pump there by that meat market. And Mom used to carry water and fill up the tubs and the boilers for her.
Had the car already been weighed for the coal in it?
No. It didn't get weighed until it come in.
Oh, so those miners were helping her out of their own pocket?
Yes, out of their own pocket.
Was she on her own?
Yes, she was.
Did she get any state assistance?
No, there wasn't anything like that.
Nobody got any there?
No, Mrs. Menozzi, she was a little Italian woman. She had about 13 kids of her own. But when she baked, they always got their bread. You know, she had a great big outside oven and big paddle. She baked
an outside oven?
Oh, yes.
What did it look like?
Well, it just looked like a beehive, just a big beehive.
Was it made out of mud? Or bricks?
No,
or what?
It was brick and stone.
Who had made it? Is that an American oven or Italian?
No, that was Mr. Menozzi. They were Italians. But the boys were wonderful boys. They all helped in the mine. They helped at home. And yes, everybody helped one another.
Did anybody else have an outdoor oven like hers? So it was probably Italian, I suppose.
Yes, they were Italians.
And she baked bread for
Well, now, a lot of the miners, you know, get bread from her. But I think it was around 13 cents a loaf for a great big loaf of bread.
Was that cheap or expensive?
Well, that would be expensive, wouldn't it, Betty?
At that time, probably. That's before my time.
Why do they buy it, then?
Oh, they loved homemade bread, you know. They just take and break it and put jelly on it. There was no peanut butter then. It was jelly and butter, home-churned butter.
Did anyone ever get into such straits that they needed help from other people besides Grandma? I mean, I'm trying to get at...
No. Dr. Barnes lived there in Pardo. He was awful good to everybody. If he got a dollar for his house call, lots of times he was lucky. They were a close-knit community there.
Did he adjust his charges to what the patient could pay?
Oh, some give him more.
Did he ask them for more, or would they just volunteer it?
No, I think that they would. His charges was around $2 an office call. See, and then if they had to have medicine, he had it right there. He had the medicine for them right there.
Oh, he was the pharmacist.
Yes, too. You see, I know.
There was no druggist in town.
No.
Do you think he adjusted? It was a standard $2 call to
yes,
go to his office.
Yeah, that was standard. If they couldn't pay it, well, they could give him what they had to give him. Most generally a dollar.
Would anyone take advantage of him?
No. Nobody done that. Nobody took advantage of anybody that way. Not in that Pardo.
How off was the doctor? Was he fairly rich? Was he
no?
Comfortable?
Was he just
like a miner?
No, he was comfortable. He had enough to come and go on. He drove a horse and buggy out into the country wherever they go. I think he got more from the farmers than he ever done from the miners.
Oh, is that right? Why is that?
Well, I think the farmers were always better off.
And they were expected to give the full amount.
Yes, uh-huh. Now, what do you...
When did he get a car? Did he ever have a
car? No, he never had a car. No.
Was he a good doctor? Was he regarded
as he was. He was really a wonderful man, and he was a good doctor. You bet he was. Yes, he was.
Was there a school in town?
Yes, we had a big Pardo school there. There was the two floors. There was the fourth. There was the fourth grade downstairs on up the eighth grade upstairs. We had a wonderful teacher. Nellie Barnes was downstairs and Nellie White was downstairs and Red Barnes was upstairs, but later on they got married. See?
Oh.
And he'd ride a horse and she'd drive the buggy. They lived on up by Jackson Center.
Well, there must have been pretty many kids in that school. How many students were there?
Oh, my. It was packed, most generally.
Is that right?
Two and three in a seat.
Oh.
Two and three in a seat.
How was the discipline in the school?
Oh, beautiful. Everybody helped one another.
Really? There was no problem, kids?
Oh, no. My goodness gracious.
Why not?
Boy, they'd get a whipping when they went home. Don't you think they wouldn't? They knew better than to cause any trouble. Only dip down your curls in the inkwell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what they do. Uh-huh. No way. The kids of yesterday is gone forever, I'm afraid. I think the discipline of the parents is lacking.
Yeah.
Is what's the matter with our darling children today.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about the school?
Oh, there was about a mile and a half to walk there sometimes. And after we left there, you see, I went back to the farm.
On cold days, was it comfortable inside?
Oh, we had a great big stove, and it was a wood burner and a coal burner, too.
Well, was everybody comfortable? Was it cold?
Yeah, we wore long underwear, and we wore clothes, and we keep our boots on if our feet was cold. Oh, well.
Who tended the stove?
Well, there was different boys in the eighth grade.
Oh, it was a job for the eighth grade
boys,
huh?
Oh, they didn't go around breaking windows then. They carried in the coal and the wood. Uh-huh. Took care of the ashes for the teachers, you bet. We had great respect and love for our teachers. They were really something. But today I pity the kids, I pity the teachers. So I do. They will never know the wonderful things, the wonderful memories that we have of our schools, of our teachers, of our parents, that when they said no, they meant no. Didn't ask anymore. You didn't sneak out. If you did go skating up on the shaft pond, you got the razor strap when you come home, and he went after me just once.
Uh-huh. Did many kids skip school?
No. Unless it was sickness.
Uh-huh.
But then the doctor knew about that. The doctor was always called.
Did the teacher inquire with the parents if the child was missing?
There was a note sent with... Oh, yeah, a note was always sent. When I was sick, the Heart Week kids always stopped for me. And
uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, there was a note sent to the teacher why I wasn't there. And probably this teacher told the doctor, and then he'd stop by to see me.
What else was in Pardo? You had a grocery store and the doctor's office?
Uh-huh. We had the big station there. We had
nice
big station there.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't tell you about where they sold, Dutch Amhoff's, where they sold carbide for the miners' lamps.
What's
and
carbide?
Oil. Carbide, what burns on their hats, you see, the carbide. Then dynamite to blow the
The miners didn't have to buy the dynamite, did they? Or did they?
No, that was they had to sign for how much they got.
Uh-huh.
And then Dutchie got his pay from the company.
Oh, I see. I see. But the miners themselves picked up how much dynamite they
had.
Oh,
yeah, they had to sign for that, see. Uh-huh. They had to sign. They paid for their own carbide for the lamps. And
did anybody ever get hurt in the mines?
Oh, yes, many times.
It was dangerous work?
Oh, yes. It isn't mines like it is today.
What would happen? How did you know when someone was hurt?
Well, there was the dinky, you know, the dinky engine.
The cart,
it was about that long, and it was a small.
A locomotive, about 10 feet long?
Yeah.
Would that bring the guy up?
Oh, yeah, it would always bring them out.
Did they blow a whistle or anything?
No. No.
Was there ever a cave-in at the mine, any big accident?
No, never.
No,
that was all sheared up properly before they ever left the mine.
Uh-huh. No water seepage or anything like that?
No, I don't think, not too much.
Uh-huh.
At the last, they had to move out because it was just the line of the coal was done. It was really a deep mine, see, is what it was. And
how
it was
deep
real
was
good.
It, you know?
No, I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't remember.
So they never... Did anyone ever have black lung? Did many of the miners
get
sick in the lungs?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. They did. And there's men now at 80 years old 90 years old. They're getting black lung. Now, you see the mines in number 5, number 2 in Brent, they were the big, big mines.
Oh.
But they didn't have the good coal that Pardo had.
Oh, I see.
Yes, many, a lot of them.
How many men worked in Pardo mine, roughly?
Oh, my, I just can't tell you roughly. There was a good many. It was at its peak, why, there was a lot of miners there. Mm-hmm. But
what
drifted.
Year would you say the peak was?
Well, let me see now. They left there before the First World War, just about. Oh, let me see. I suppose they was through 1914. It was done. They were gone.
That's about the time you moved into Grove City. Uh-huh. Did you move to Grove City?
No, we moved down on our farm. My dad, my grandpa was.
Uh-huh. Where was the farm located?
About a mile and a half towards Mercer. About
from
a mile
where?
And a half.
From where?
From Pardo.
I see. Yeah, no. Well, you moved further away from Grove mm-hmm. City. But your father went to work?
Yes, he walked up the track about a mile and a half every night. And leave at 6 o'clock on that 6 o'clock train into Grove City. And
oh,
then,
I see. Took the train into Grove City. Oh,
yeah.
I see. What did they charge for the train ride?
Oh, I think about 15 cents is what it was.
Did he have mm-hmm. trouble getting a job after the mine?
Oh, break? No. Uh-uh.
Why not? Were they always hiring a lot of men at Cooper Bessemer?
It wasn't Cooper Bessemer then. It was Bessemer Gas Engine.
Oh,
they
I
didn't
see.
Build.
See,
this here big Cooper Bessemer bought them out.
I see.
It wasn't a great big place like it is now. Either,
I see. Where did you go to school? When
I went
moved?
To school Pardo, at Pardo.
Still mm-hmm. kept at Pardo.
And then just the 1 year in Newcastle. That was all. I went down with my grandma. When they moved from Pardo, they went to Newcastle.
No. Oh, you lived in Newcastle for
just for yeah, just for the 1 year. That's all.
How'd you like Newcastle?
Oh, just fine. Mm-hmm. I liked it there. Yes, but what I wanted to tell you why, I have 2 sons. I was married and had 2 sons, and I have scrubbed many a floor in this Grove City. Dr. Eaton, that dentist, and I let. That money that I earned cleaning his house and his office go on for the kids fixing their teeth and mine too.
I see. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. You were living on the farm. How long did you live on the farm after you left Pardo?
Oh, well, wait a minute now. See, see, our son was born in 25. Oh, let me see. How long would that be?
Were you married?
I was married there in Pardo.
Oh, I see. That. Well, how old were you when you got married?
Oh, I was about sweet 16, I guess.
Uh-huh. How did you meet your husband?
Well, he came in from Denver, Colorado. He's strictly a good old cowboy.
Oh, he was a cowboy.
But it didn't last long. It just lasted. The youngest boy was just a year old when he took a notion to go back west. He loved the horses and the women the best. So I raised the boys along with my wonderful father and my wonderful Aunt Jenny Harrison.
I see.
And she worked at the Grove City.
Gee, it must have been tough for you, huh?
Yeah, it really was. But. And now in this Grove City, when my dad moved me down here, well, it wasn't a Grove City like it is today. I went to work, I cleaned, I'd leave at 25 minutes to 4. Well, I wouldn't dare to go up today at 25 minutes to 4. I would be scared to.
You mean in the morning?
In the morning. And
you
I cleaned
leave for
all
work?
Quarter to 11, and then I had to leave. I cleaned the Eagles Club for about 3 years, but I had to leave when Jim Tortorella came in at a quarter to 11. He took over the bar, and I had to leave, whether the work was all done or not.
Why was that?
Well,
because they didn't want a cleaning lady there, is that right?
No, it was, I had cleaned maybe from 4 o'clock in the morning until about a quarter to 11, and the bar opened then, and then I left, see, because they had their key, they could come in.
I see. Uh-huh.
And then I was house mother at the college for 3 years down here, and then I worked just cleaning down at the college, Colonial.
Well, now you got married at 16 and you're on your own, what, a couple years later at 18?
Oh, no. No, no. There was about six, there was about five and a half when you're 6 years between the
you're
two.
You're roughly 22?
Yeah, I'm not long in there.
That would be
now,
about 1927?
So. No, it was more than that now. Let me see now. Oh, how time flies, and I can't remember. It was the one boy, he was about six, and the baby was about just 1 year old, just about 1 year. And now.
So, well, you went back to live with your father when your husband?
No, I didn't. No.
What did you do?
My dad, he started to work at the Grove City Hospital then as janitor. Then he set Harold up. He set Harold up in a motor freight, the B&B motor freight.
Oh, your husband.
And he didn't appreciate it. He let the other men do the work, and it was sad. He was a beautiful person, wonderful personality, lovely man. I loved him very much, but he wasn't satisfied, so I wouldn't keep him. I just took care of the boys. And
I see.
And
well, what did
then
you
my
do
second man, I married again after 10 years, and. And he was in both wars. He was in the First World War and the Second World War. He was a great guy. He could do most anything. He worked for Grove City Borough here over an electric plant.
I see. How long did you clean?
I worked even after I was married to Mr. Bishop. I worked up until. I still work. But what I wanted to tell you in this Grove City. I'd scrub a big kitchen floor, and it was in linoleum. And you had to rinse it, you had to dry it, and you had to put the wax back on and leave it dried. And I made beds or swept the kitchen or the porches and so on like
in
that.
In the house? You mean Eaton's house?
No, Mrs. White, Mrs. Harmon, and it was a little bit better at Mrs. Shelley's. Because
why?
She used dust mops to polish with, where the other place you had to get down your hands and knees and use these rags to polish.
Oh, you polish with rags?
Yes, indeed. At 25 cents an hour.
Oh, that must have been hard. Hour after hour, just pushing?
No, 4 hours, and I get a dollar for that. Oh. And I come up to some well store here. I get a pound of wieners and loaf of bread and a quart of milk. I had a few dimes in my pocket. That's what I got for that dollar and about 25 cents.
You raised your kids on that?
Yeah, but I had a lot of help from my father and my Aunt Jenny Harrison. And I couldn't have done it without them. Yes, sir. No.
Well, you must have had a hardened depression,
huh? Yes, Mr. McIntyre. He had the Mother's Assistance Program, and he had sewing ladies in, and they made ironing panel sheets and the clothes for kids, and we all got our share. That come from the county.
How'd you feel about that? Was that tough to take?
No.
Grateful to get it?
Yes, Yes, it helped out.
What was Grove City like in the Depression period, you remember?
It was a beautiful place here.
Was there a changed attitude, or?
No, I don't think so. Was there, Betty? I think that it's always been just sort of it's been a close-knit town. In the college, the kids come and go, every 4 years it changes. Different people come in here, different children, and from different homes. Some's rich, some's just like the boy that cleans the windows here. He works at anything he can get a hold of to work, keep himself in college,
let's see what we can talk about your family a bit.
Well, there isn't too much to tell about the family, so there isn't.
Well, we can ask the questions anyway. Who was the disciplinarian in your family?
Well, most generally, I was.
I mean, when you were living at home.
Oh, my dad! dad!
Did he do the spanking?
He took the razor strap once. That's all.
How often did somebody get spanked in your family?
That was the only time.
Very few, very rare.
I didn't have any brothers or sisters.
Oh, I see.
My brother died when just 14 days old.
Oh, I see.
So I was rather spoiled, you know, coddled.
Children died fairly commonly in their first year, didn't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did people react to that?
Well,
you know, today I would think losing a little kid less than a year would be just terrible.
Well,
was it that way then?
No, we just sort of took it as it come then, because he had yellow jaundice, and there wasn't a big children's hospital to rush him to then.
There was just no hospital, huh?
No. Grove City Hospital was up here. Little old hospital was up here, the only one there was until Bachelines.
Yeah. Did you send him to that hospital?
No, he was in a clothes basket on the oven door, and Dr. Barnes took care of him for the 14 days.
Uh-huh. And he had yellow jaundice from the day he was born?
Yes, he was born with it.
Did they expect him to die, or what?
Mm-hmm. I think Dr. Barnes told Mom and Dad from the beginning that he wouldn't live.
Uh-huh. How did they take it?
Very calmly, and quietly. Dad, he dug the grave over there at the Springfield Cemetery.
Did they have someone to do that?
No, you done it yourself. And afterwards, well, then, of course, they had a caretaker later on. Uh-huh.
But when did they get a caretaker?
No, it was Miller's and Mercer always. That was.
Well, did your father employ an embalmer, or did
no.
they just put the? No.
Oh, Mr. Miller, and they just wrapped him in.
In Mercer.
They wrapped him in a sheet, and he bought the little casket. It was just a little box.
Oh, he didn't make that. You bought that.
No, we bought that from Miller and Mercer. See.
Did anyone make his own casket in those days?
Oh, I don't really. I can't answer that. I just can't answer that, whether they did. But I know that that was bought from Mr. Miller.
Do you know how much it cost?
Well, the whole funeral, I think, cost about $25. Because Dad, he dug the grave. It was just 3 feet. That's all you had to go down. And,
oh, not 6 feet.
No.
Why 3 feet?
Well, I don't know, but there's what it is in Mercer yet today. A baby
baby. Is it different with a baby?
Yes, it is.
Did they bear? In the case I know, my own, my grandfather died the same day as my little baby aunt, and they buried them in the same grave. The baby's casket on top. Of
yeah, that's done right in Mercer yet today.
Well, what was the funeral like? What did they do with the baby when it died? Did they take it away, or did they leave it?
Well, Dad took it. He and Dr. Barnes took it into Miller's funeral home there.
How'd they get there?
And into a horse and buggy.
What year was that?
Oh, let me see. Now that there would be. I was born in 5.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, I must have been 4 years old.
So it'll be about 1909, 1910. Okay. So how long was the baby? Was there a funeral home in Mercer?
Oh, yes. Miller's.
That's the funeral.
They didn't leave him. They just, whatever they had to do there, and put him in dressed him and put him in the little casket.
Oh, I see.
And they brought him home, and then our Reverend Brown of the Methodist Church went with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, when was the funeral held? Okay, we're talking about the funeral. Your father brought the baby back in the casket.
How
late in the day was that? Was that very late?
Well, they left with the baby, I imagine, around. He died through the night, and they left around 9 o'clock, and then Reverend Brown was over there, and they said a few words over him. And then they come back, see, Pop stayed and filled in the casket, filled it in the dirt all in, and he walked home, see. He walked back over to Farnham down.
Did you have any kind of a wake?
No.
Just a family, huh?
Yeah, there
you all
was.
All walked out to the cemetery.
No, Mama. No, I went. You see?
Didn't go?
No.
Why not? Was it just not done, or what?
No. Well, our cemetery was. It was almost Springfield was. Oh, it was.
Good distance.
Yes, it was a good distance from there.
It was just impractical, huh?
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
How did your mother take it?
Oh, she was a strong woman. She knew that we had done everything that we could do and for him. Oh, it was sad to lose the boy.
Yeah.
And, of course, now I don't remember too much of. I just knew I could still see the basket on the oven door, as far as that goes, and her taking care of him. But
was that to keep it warm?
Yes.
It was not in the bedroom, huh?
No.
Why not? Why wouldn't it be with the mother?
Because we didn't have any heat much, you see.
I see.
There. We had the big old coal stove, cook stove. Then we had a heating stove in the living room, but it was better for us, for our mom to take care of take care of him there. And then we had a lot of friends that run in and out with a lot of different suggestions and things like that. But there were, in those days, this day, today, they rushed them right away.
Yeah.
Either over to Youngstown or to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
There's something that can done. It would be done for.
But they never considered bringing him into the hospital here in Grove City. There was nothing that could be done for him?
No, they didn't know anything more about yellow jaundice than our doctor knew.
I see. Uh-huh. Oh, interesting.
I've got the world by the tail now. I've got a beautiful apartment here. And lovely people in this building that you'd never believe that ever could be so lovely. They're all good people here. And
I'm surprised that there wasn't any wake. Would there have been a wake if the dead person had been older? Did people hold wakes?
Oh, yes.
You know,
the same as they do now.
The same as they do now?
Oh, yes.
But not for a little baby?
No.
Was that because babies died so often?
No, there wasn't too many babies died. It was, maybe that I remember there, McCleary's lost their baby, and I believe Turner's lost a baby. That's about all, and ours.
Why wouldn't they hold a wake for a baby? They're just too young?
That was it. They didn't embalm like they did.
I see.
My grandma and my Aunt Jenny, or my grandma and grandpa, Harrison, they was in our home for 3 days. And then,
When they died, you mean?
Yeah, that's when they died.
Well, how did they handle that funeral?
Well, that there was Miller. He took the body and he took care of it.
Did he come and get the body?
Yes, he did, in his black hearse. Yes, he did.
And he embalmed them and brought them back?
Yes, he did,
And they were displayed in the casket in your house?
In our home, in our farm home. That's not my dad's home. That belongs to Grandma and Aunt Jenny.
Well, did they put them in the parlor?
Yes,
How long were they on display?
Oh, about 2.5 days.
Why did they put them in the parlor? Why not at the
funeral? That was the best. Well, no, we didn't want it there because it was 9 miles, and there wouldn't be. There's many people didn't. They didn't have cars, and they had. They went by horseback or by horse and buggy or by a cracky wagon, they called it in those days.
What was a cracky wagon?
Well, no, it was much as the Amish Dutch.
Just like these Amish?
Yeah, but it didn't have a cover on it, you see. It had a long body and
A pickup truck.
Yeah, that was what it would be like in the two horses. We had one and we had a Surrey.
Well, what did you do while they were on display? Did people come in for days or what?
About 2.5 days, and then they were buried. But there was so much food brought in at that time. Everybody was congenial. And
who came in? Who was expected to come?
Oh, just everybody from around everywhere come.
Relatives
Yes, they'd all come in and pay their respect, and then it would just be your own people that would go to the cemetery.
I see. What, was there special food served?
No, just special food. We raised all our food and canned all of our own food, and we killed a beef, we canned it. And when we butchered, there was the Evanses and the Winries and Harrisons, and all of them went together and butchered. And then the meat was smoked, salted and smoked, and that's what we lived on.
I see. So there wouldn't be any special food then?
No way.
Was the minister there? Did he come?
Oh, yeah. Reverend Brown was there.
What about the funeral? Well, how was that done? Who carried the bodies? The caskets, I should say.
Oh, it was just our own relatives.
Did you carry the casket or did you put it in a cart?
It was a regular hearse.
It was a horse-drawn hearse,
uh-huh. The black one. Black.
How much did it cost? Was it just one person, your grandfather?
Well, yes, at that time.
How much did that funeral cost?
Oh, I'd say, I don't know. That there was, there was about $200, I'd say.
That was a lot more.
Yeah.
Why was it more?
Well, because of the embalming. And then we bought the clothes from him, and...
You had special clothes?
Yes, Grandpa had a special. He was Lieutenant Colonel in the Civil War.
Oh.
And,
Is he dressed in his uniform?
He had all of his ratings on it. It went with him.
Uh-huh. His medals and things?
Yeah, that was it.
Uh-huh. Did they have different prices on the caskets?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. They were all this square, like this, see, box, and covered with the black material.
Mostly. All wooden ones?
Yes. And
different qualities of wood, huh?
Well, I'd say mostly pine.
Uh-huh. What was the cheapest casket you could buy for an adult?
I really don't know. Ours cost around $200, $250, see, because the government give him his big stuff. He's got a big stone out there like that.
Oh, is that right? The government provided the stone?
Oh, yeah.
Because he was a Civil War soldier?
Oh, yes, indeed. And then my husband, he has one. He's buried there in that same lot. And the VA, of course,
put his out.
And then they give him the flag every Memorial Day. And
was the funeral different because he was a Civil War soldier?
No. No, the few that was around just come in and paid their respects. That's it.
Did he ever talk about the Civil War?
Oh, yes. He told us that there would be blood on the moon. It would be very much like putting a cannonball in the cannon and shooting it up into the air. And we saw it. He says, you folks probably won't see it. But he said Leona might see it. And I did. We witnessed a man walking on the moon.
Yeah,
that's what the
blood
on the moon means.
Did he ever talk about the battles in the Civil War?
Only just this one time. They went into this big plantation and most people were dead. They buried them.
State was that in? Did he say?
No, it was... Let me see. Would that be... I just can't tell you right now whether that be West Virginia on down in through the South.
Virginia?
Down in through the South.
Well, what did he say about that plantation?
It was gorgeously beautiful. It was a beautiful plantation.
And they came into it and found everyone dead?
Everybody was dead.
Uh-huh. And
they buried them.
Uh-huh. What was his attitude? Was he sorry or in awe?
Well,
of course,
now he was from the North. He just didn't believe in slavery. That was all. And he, and then another thing, this was one thing that I want to tell you. It can be recorded. That when $88 a month, as soon as he was discharged, and my grandma Harrison got that same $88 until she died, and when my husband, when he put in for his money from the government for the First World War, he got $75, and then when he got a raise in Social Security, lowered to $68. And the month that he died, he had got another raise in his Social Security, lowered it to $39. And I did not get my $5 a month for until 2 years later. Now that's what I want recorded down there, what they've done to our veterans.
It was better after the Civil War than it was after
World War I? Absolutely. They respected their veterans. They had great respect for their veterans and their family. But from the First World War and the Second World War, they were just something else to be put down someplace if they get away from me. I had all that I could get out of you, and that's the way they treat our veterans now. And they're going to have a sit-down army instead of a standing army if they're not careful. If they don't get the right man in this time, it's going to be sad. And this is 1980, and I'll tell you that it's... God's going to do something, I'm afraid, pretty soon with this here... with this here amount of crime. It's... they have no respect for God. There's very few born-again Christians.
Were there many back in, when you were younger? Was it a more religious age when you were young?
Oh, I think it was, yes. I think it was.
What was the church? Did you go to the Methodist church at that time? What was it like there? Did you? How many times a week did you go?
Oh, we always went on Wednesday night to prayer meeting, the same as it is now. And then we'd always go on Sunday. Dad didn't go because that was the only day he had off to rest. But Mother and I, we sang in the choir, the missionary, whatever there was, same as it is today. It hasn't changed too much. No. And we had a preacher that was there for many years.
Let's see, well, I guess moving on to the Depression period, you married in what, about 1937, thereabouts?
I was married in 42 to Mr. Bishop.
1942.
And then my one son graduated from Grove City High School, and 12 days later he was in the Second World War. Uh-huh. And my husband left. He was gone for 3 years, and so was the oldest boy gone for 3 years.
Your husband was gone in both wars?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do in the Second World War?
He was a motor machinist and chief.
In the Navy, huh?
Mm-hmm. My oldest son was in the Air Force. Both sons were in the Air Force. That's the guy down there that he's just Lieutenant Colonel the 19th of this month, and he's been in 20 years.
Oh, uh-huh. That's your son?
Uh-huh. That's my two sons down here. But I think that's about all of my life now that I'm in this beautiful high-rise, and I'm praying for help that I can stay here, because you have to be able to take care of yourself in your own apartment.
Yeah.
That is, there's help for you now.
Yeah.
There's help for you.
Uh-huh.
You're allowed to have help, see.
Okay, well, that's very nice.